Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll head out to the guest line right now. We're going to welcome in one of our favorites, Sean Merriman. Obviously, Lights Out Extreme Fighting is back, and they got a big card coming up on November 1st. And the former star linebacker in the NFL, Sean Merriman, is back on the show with us. Sean, appreciate the time. How you been?
You got it, brother. All good, man. Grinding away. Big It's always a little bit hectic fight week, but, you know, making it through.
All righty. Let me start you off with your Chargers. They got off to that 3-0 start. Then they lost 3 out of 4. They beat the Vikings, obviously, last week. Crushed them on Thursday Night Football. Should get another win this weekend in Tennessee. You got a tough division. The Raiders stink, but, you know, the Chiefs are humming now. The Broncos are playing some solid football. What's your evaluation almost halfway through the season so far with the Chargers?
Well, you know, I'll say this. The amount of injuries, and I don't want to make an excuse for these guys at all, but the amount of injuries they've had, not just regular injuries, some talking about like their star players, their key players, both running backs go down, one for the season, and the other one for several weeks with the ankle sprain. You had Rashawn Slater to go down before the season start. Joe Alt moves over. He goes down for weeks. Khalil Mack is out. And I'm like, is this curse that everybody talking about, is it real? Because that's what it felt like. So, you know, the whole point of it is how can they survive, right? How can they get through the weeks with that amount of injuries? And they found a way against the Vikings. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that they're back where they were the first couple weeks of the season, but they sustained enough to put themselves back in position where they can win some games from now on.
I understand what you're saying with the injuries. Totally get it. With that being said, you know how we dumb everything down, right? It's always coaching quarterback. A lot of people believe in Jim Harbaugh. For some reason, Justin Herbert is polarizing. I think he's a really good quarterback. But what's your evaluation of Herbert as a quarterback with what you've seen this year?
You know, it's funny. So Herbert, you know, especially I think in the game in Denver, you know, he's had some games this year where towards the end, he got over the hump that everybody tried to put in front of him, right? Oh, he can't. He's not clutch. He can't win the big game. He can't put the team on his back and go out and do what he needs to do. Well, he's done that. And so, I just think this year they're asking for a different Justin Herbert. In the past, it was the big 50-yard bombs down the field, the explosive plays. They're not asking him to do that for them to win anymore. That's why he's being successful. And really, when you got a good and balanced team, you shouldn't have to, right? And so he can go out and win games when he needs to, but he shouldn't have to do that. So his requirements and what they're asking him to do now is not be this magnificent, you know, game winner and make these big plays all the time. He's going out and doing what the team needs to do to win, to fit in the scheme in which Jim Harbaugh implemented with that team.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy when you look at the AFC. The NFC, I think there's a bunch of good teams, and I think it's really going to be a slugfest to get to the Super Bowl. The AFC feels so open. You know, you got Buffalo and New England in the AFC East. No one in the NFC North that I think is really standing out to me. The South, the Colts have been a heck of a story. And then you got those three teams in the West where the Chargers and Broncos are good and the Chiefs are now getting back off the mat and they're starting to figure it out again. Who would be your pick right now to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC?
Well, you know, I was on the field and I was talking to Reggie Wayne, before that, before the Colts game. And I don't think they're getting talked about enough. And just the transition from Daniel Jones going from where he was in New York to what he's doing for the Colts, he looks like a completely different player. And also the running back, man, that dude is going to – I mean, he's setting records right now, but I think when this thing ends up, if he keeps on, the road he's on and he doesn't have any significant injuries, I think you can start talking and putting him up there in a category with great running backs. He's having those type of years. So, as much as I love my Chargers, and I think they're bouncing back just fine, and they're going to be in a contention towards the end of the season, when you're talking about teams in general, especially on the AFC side, people aren't talking about how dangerous the Colts are. The Colts are a very dangerous team right now. More importantly, just how they're running the ball, and that defense is not getting enough credit as well.
Colts, Chiefs, AFC Championship game in Indianapolis. Who would you pick?
I'm not going against the Chiefs. I've done that so many times before in the past, and it's just – it's backfired on me so many times, and it's hard to go against the Chiefs. Even before, when people were just down on them, I know they lost the first game of the year against the Chargers, and everybody's jumping off the bandwagon. I was like, do you guys realize who's throwing the football? Do you realize who's the head coach? They were missing Rice. They was missing Xavier Worthy. They were missing some key components of that team. And then, two, that defense, Drew Tranquil, who's former Charger as well, they got some guys on that team that they're going to always bounce back and be a contention towards the season when the season ends.
Yeah, and obviously, Rashee Rice with the suspension was out the first six games, but you see how important he is to that team and the other element that he adds. You played in an era where you were going up, you had great teams, like phenomenal teams, but eventually everyone would run into Belichick and Brady. And there's years where the Patriots would get off to 2-2 starts, and you'd have people saying, I don't like the coach, or this is the beginning of the end, and look at the run that they had. Do you feel like when you're watching Kansas City with Reed and Mahomes that you're sitting there saying, this is just a new version of Brady and Belichick?
Anytime anybody bring up the fact that we didn't win championships, I say, look, let me tell you why. Well, you got to go through Ben Roethlisberger first. When you get through him, you go through Peyton Manning. When you get through him, now you got to see the final boss over in Tom Brady. So you're going to have to see the Chiefs at some point. And depending on what shape they're in, injury-wise, or if they got some momentum going, you can be in trouble. And so that's why I don't pay too much attention to the first 6 weeks of the season. There's new coordinators, there's new coaches, new systems. Everybody's getting acclimated with each other. You start to see, like, round week eight or so, who teams really are, right? Because when the season starts, everybody got these high hopes of, hey, we're going to the Super Bowl. We're 0-0. We got a chance. Well, about week eight, everything started to kind of sort itself out, and I think that's what's happening right now.
I know you played for the Bills at the end of your career, and you love the Buffalo Bills fans, and they've been able to beat up the Chiefs in the regular season, but they can't get the job done in the postseason. Those two teams will play once again. I was around Buffalo two or three weeks ago in Atlanta when they lost that game, and they were asking Josh Allen to do so much, and he just didn't have it that night. When the quarterback doesn't have it with that team, then they're not going to win many games. Buffalo, I still think, could be a heck of a team. They probably still, even though I'm a Patriot fan, they'll probably still win the AFC East, I would gather. But, man, you look at the Bills, and it's tough for me to get there where, yes, it's open in the AFC, and it'd be cool to see them go to a Super Bowl, but I just can't still wrap my head around it with just the way that it's gone the last few years and that team really just being so Josh Allen heavy right now.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing is for the Bills, and I love my Bills to death, is that they can't drop games that they should win, mm-hmm. right? They just can't. And some of the losses they've had over the last few weeks is winnable games. And you see the comeback against the Ravens. You see what they can do, and the potential is when it's clutch, when the time matters. That right now it was what separated the Chiefs and the Bills. The Bills are equally as good a team as the Chiefs are. It's just that clutch factor. You got to get over the hump. And let me tell you, that window of opportunity to win a championship, it doesn't remain open all the time. I mean, look at any team in history. You got about a 4-year window where that same the coaching staff, the front office, the players are as one. And then what happens? The assistant GM goes. You know, you got a new quarterback coach, new offensive coordinator. It looks like a different team. So you have that window of opportunity, and they're approaching that, man. So you hope that they figure it out and get over that hump at least one time while Josh is there.
Talking to Sean Merriman, we'll talk about Lights Out Extreme Fighting in just a second. You've been in locker rooms where players haven't been happy. There are contracts, right? There's dead cap money. Those things do exist. There's so much noise with A.J. Brown and the Eagles. I don't think he's getting traded by the deadline. But if you could ask A.J. Brown, hey, do you actually still want to be in Philly? Do you think he would say yes?
I think he'll say yes, but I don't think you're going to get a straight answer like yes. And, you know, it's unfortunate because by the way, I don't want to call him a cancer because I don't think of that deep with him. But there's a stigma from when he left the Titans to going there. It's been kind of the same talk, right? The same. If things are not going well, or he's not getting the ball, or something happens, it's becoming a problem. And so what I hope not to happen is that as much as people don't think that the Eagles are as dominant as they are, they're still a very good team. I think Saquon said this in this post-game interview. The whole job of this sport is to win, right? To win. However you win, you got to win. But it almost seems like when he's not getting the football or things not going his way, then it's a problem. The whole goal of this game is to win football games, to put yourself in a position to win a championship. That's the goal. And I hope that it doesn't keep manifesting. It doesn't keep, you know, moving forward and progressively get worse to the point where he becomes a cancer. And I don't think that of him at all right now. But if things are not going the way that he wants them to, whether it's targets or whatever the case is, I just hope that this thing doesn't pick up steam and it becomes a problem, because that can really hurt them in that locker room.
So you have the Eagles at 6-2, the Packers at 5-1-1, the Lions at 5-2, Tampa's 6-2, and then the NFC West is loaded with the Seahawks, Rams, and 49ers. Seahawks and Rams are 5-2, the Rams are 5-3. Who do you think is the best team in the NFC?
I like Tampa. You know, I like Baker down there. I like the, you know, what he's done for that team. I mean, he has probably one of the most remarkable comeback stories in football, in my opinion. Just him bouncing around. And people don't remember this. I mean, he was lined up on scout team defense in Carolina just some years ago, which is just crazy to me to even think about. And now he's leading a team, could possibly be in championship, you know, contending for a championship. And this guy was lining up, putting his hand in the dirt on scout team defense in Carolina. And after really not getting a shot, I think it was with the Rams. And so, but they, in my opinion, and I think what is Mike Evans gone? Is he gone for, is he?
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be out for the majority of the season, if not all the season.
Yeah. And so again, if they do win enough, and I think they're more than capable of doing it, maybe he comes back into the fold later on during the season or sometime in the playoffs. But I would talk, you know, I would say Tampa. Tampa to me is the most, you know, scariest team right now in the NFC because the way they're winning football games.
You know, Baker Mayfield just has it. He has a toughness and a swagger to him. I don't know if, like, Philip Rivers really had a swagger to him, but he had a toughness to him. Do you see some similarities just in the way they carry themselves in Baker and Philip Rivers, your former quarterback?
I was just talking about this. I was literally just talking about this. And they got a different kind of swagger. Like, you're not gonna see Phil doing the ducky anywhere or nothing crazy, but when, you know, Baker gets up after a hard hit and starts getting into a defender phase, when he isn't backing down from confrontation, that the rest of that team and that locker room feeds off him. You look at the energy when he does that, what it does for the rest of the team. He does more than just throwing the football for them. He gives them a sense of confidence that you can win every week with Baker. And if you're not winning, you know that he's going to fight tooth and nail. He's going to give you everything he got. And for those type of guys, you will run through a wall for. And so he does a lot more for that team than just throwing the football.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy too, because, right, Tampa, they had Tom Brady, won a Super Bowl, got to the second round of the playoffs, then made the playoffs again, even though that team wasn't that good. Brady retires, and you think, okay, the organization's just going to fold, and they're going to go back to kind of being irrelevant. Baker walks in, it's 2 years in the playoffs. They won a playoff game 1 year. The second year, they lose on wild card weekend in that crazy back-and-forth game with the Commanders. And now, to your point, they are looking like one of the best teams in the NFC. That's the other part of this I don't think gets talked about enough. You were replacing the greatest quarterback of all time, and the transition has been pretty seamless from Brady to Baker.
Yeah, and not even to make a comparison, but you can make a comparison for what they do for the team. Like, you know, I talked to several guys back when Tom Brady was there, and they always felt that they had a chance to win. Every Sunday they felt they had a chance to win with Tom Brady. And that's when I see the similarities with Baker Mayfield. When Baker steps on the field, you have the confidence. Yep, he can put you in a situation where you can win every week. Not saying you will, but you feel extremely confident when you got him throwing the football.
All righty, tell me what we got cooking now. What's the latest with Lights Out Extreme Fighting?
Yeah, we got a huge event this Saturday in Long Beach, California. You know, you guys out there, check us out. Lights Out Extreme Fighting 28. You can download Lights Out Sports TV. We'll be live on Lights Out Sports TV. And I think we're replays UFC Fight Pass and FUBO, BN Sports. We got a ton of partners we work with. But we got two guys in this card, man, who I think they got a real shot at taking off, going to the UFC. Hopefully we can retain them for a couple fights. But this main event, Renato Valente and Grant Neal, is going to be a big one. Cole Lauren is another one that's up and coming. Drake Flores is on this card as well. I mean, we got some dogs that I think is going to be rising stars in this sport. So check us out this Saturday, Long Beach, California, and download Lights Out Sports TV to watch it live.
And then just one more thing that popped into my head, just looking back at your career, who were like two or three linemen that when you were going up against them, you were like, man, this is going to really be a challenge. Like, who were the linemen you had the most respect for and you knew it was going to be a dogfight?
I faced them all, man, from Walter Jones, and I faced Orlando Pace when he first came in, Willie Rofe. I can tell you a guy who was just mean as hell, Richie Incognito.
Oh, yeah.
I love Richie, man. Love his attitude. Wish I got a chance to play with him. But it was a little bit different feel, man, just, you know, because they ran the ball a lot. It was a lot more downhill running. But some of these guys now, I was, you know, before the season started, I was with Joe Alt, and I'm almost 6'5", and I'm looking up at him, you know, like a 10-year-old kid. So these guys are just, they're a different animal nowadays.
Yeah, and you know, obviously right now the best pass rusher in the sport is Myles Garrett. He just had 5 sacks in a game, but they lost by double digits because the Browns stink. Now, Myles had that trade request, said it wasn't all about the money, then took the massive deal to stay in Cleveland. Like, when you think he goes to sleep at night, obviously, he lives a great life. He's got all that money coming in. But do you think part of him says, man, I really should have just got paid elsewhere and go have a chance to go win somewhere?
Look, I think, you know, Myles Garrett is going to go down in history when this thing is done. I mean, he's on just another playing field than anybody that's playing in the National Football League right now. The problem is that I don't think he's going to get as quite due just because of where he's playing. You know, you put Myles Garrett on a team that can score 24 to 30 points a game. You know, he can have 5 sacks a week. I mean, this guy is next level. But, you know, you take the money. And once you take the money, you understand what the organization is going to do. They haven't changed and got better over the years you've been there. So, you know, you're getting paid to stay. So it's unfortunate. But, man, you wish to see a guy like that potentially get a ring before he's done, because he deserves it.
He's Sean Merriman. Sean, good luck with the car. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
You got it, bud. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Sean Merriman joining us right there on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back. We'll update some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We will get to a news brief next. But first, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, is the place to bet on NBA stars this season. Download the DraftKings Sports app and use code GELB. That's code GELB, G-E-L-B. Bet $5 and get 3 months of NBA League Pass, plus get $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Passer or per wager tax may apply in Illinois. Must be 21 plus. Age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Must be present in state where it is lawful to wager. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets that are non-cash credits that expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. NBA League Pass is subject to blackouts and other restrictions and auto-renews until canceled. Additional terms at dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Valid until November 16th, 2025.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, we played this for you about 30 minutes ago. We'll play it for you again, and we got some clarity now on this. Let's hear, we got a few cuts here, but let's hear from the Louisiana Governor, Jeff Landry, while talking about Brian Kelly's buyout, the future of Scott Woodward as the AD of LSU. A lot to unpack. Let's get the cut one.
No, I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next coach. Hell, I'll let Donald Trump select it before I let him do it. I don't know, but the Board of Supervisors is going to come up with a committee and they're going to go find us a coach. Hold on. One real quick thing on that. Because here's what y'all reporters need to do. Y'all need to start looking at who represents all these people. Like these agents. You know what's interesting? If I'm not mistaken, Woodard's agent, Kelly's agent, the Texas A&M, they're all the same agent. Like, you realize if I would be, I don't know how y'all, how many sports writers we got here today? Like, just you. We should have a bunch. Okay? Like, this is ridiculous. Lawyers would be disbarred for the way these agents act and the way they're able to represent. In fact, there's no doubt, they may even represent some of the players now. Like, it's really time for the NCAA to put on some guardrails in college sports. Because, and it's fine. We don't need the guardrails. If big billionaires want to spend all that kind of money, no problem. But if I got to go find $53 million from Kemp, it's not going to be a pleasant conversation. I'm just telling you.
So, Ross Dellinger, who covers college football for Yahoo Sports, does a good job. Providing some clarity around the governor's comments here, Brian Kelly and Jimbo Fisher are not represented by the same person. Kelly is represented by Trace Armstrong. Fisher is represented by Jimmy Sexton.
Oh, you gotta look it. You gotta investigate it.
Let's hear one more from the Louisiana governor.
We are not going down a failed path. And I wanted to tell you something. This is a pattern. The guy that's here now that wrote that contract cost Texas A&M $70-something million. Right now, we got a $53 million liability. We are not doing that again. And you know what? I believe that we're going to find a great coach. I mean, maybe we'll let President Trump pick it. He loves winners. You know, I'm not going to be picking the next coach. But I can promise you, we're going to pick a coach. And we're going to make sure that that coach is successful. And we're going to make sure that he's compensated properly. And we're going to put metrics on it. Because I'm tired of rewarding failure in this country. And then leaving the taxpayers on the foot, you know, to foot the bill. So, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I'm wrong. Are the taxpayers even paying for the buyout? How many times are like, oh, the boosters got to just get the money? You know, I don't want to overreact to this. Because if Lane Kiffin wants the LSU job, do you think he's going to really give a rat's ass about this Jeff Landry press conference? No. But I do wonder if it gives some of the other schools leverage. And I think LSU is the creme de la creme job of the market. But there's a lot of inaccuracies there that Jeff Landry was saying. And here's a, anytime, this is my rule of thumb, and I usually, this rule never usually does wrong by me. Politicians talking about sports usually does not end well. They either sound tone deaf, they get things wrong, they get names wrong. Like that guy Menino up in Boston years ago, I know he's no longer alive. Like, these guys get things wrong all the time. But man, you didn't even get the agent part right. Let's get to Mike Florio. Could the Eagles trade A.J. Brown? This on Pro Football Talk.
There was a report over the weekend that the Eagles are not expected to trade receiver A.J. Brown. That was the headline. When you look a little deeper, it sure looks like the Eagles are willing, if not eager, to get phone calls about A.J. Brown. And that was going into Sunday's game. Think about the teams in the AFC, the high-level contenders that could have interest. And I've heard of several teams that are interested. This, to me, feels like an effort by the Eagles to shop A.J. Brown without shopping A.J. Brown, to wait for the phone to ring, to not be the one that picks up the phone, to see if someone makes you an offer that you can't refuse, to move on from A.J. Brown. Because something's been going on there. He's a source of issues, whether he's right or wrong, frustrations that he's admitted to. Could the Eagles engage in a little addition by subtraction by moving on from A.J. Brown and picking up some significant draft pick compensation by getting multiple AFC teams clamoring to try to get him starting with New England Patriots, coached by the man who was his head coach in Tennessee?
It does feel inevitable at some point that A.J. Brown's going to be on the Patriots. Now, the Patriots, windy fingers, they just got rid of Kyle Duggar. They just got rid of Keon White. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Could mean nothing. Could also mean they're trading for A.J. Brown. I still think A.J. Brown gets traded. Not by the deadline, though. I think he gets traded in the offseason. James Harrison, the Steelers legend, he was on the, obviously his show, Debo and Joe podcast. And he rips the Steelers defense for their poor play this season.
We are freaking cooked. Like, we're cooked, bro. We're the 30th ranked defense in the NFL. We're the highest paid defense in the NFL. Those two things don't go together.
This is why I'm with you with the defense, Debo.
Sunday night. What the f*** are we doing? Things got to get changed. People got to go. Highest paid, 30th ranked. Don't match. I don't know what needs to happen, but we need to go ahead and maybe redo this whole thing and get something else going.
Thank you. That's a former Steeler speaking the truth. James Harrison, well done. Let's hear from Mike Tomlin. He says he still believes in Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator.
I've known Terrell a long time. He's very capable. He's very thorough. I largely been pleased with his work, but certainly he and I are not pleased with where we are right now from a defensive unit perspective, and so we're just going to keep working.
Okay, I don't think James Harrison is going to like that, I'll tell you that. Let's go to Jerry Jones. Were you close to a Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson trade? This is Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
No, because it's all of that. And nobody said there was a deal. There hadn't been anything close to a deal. But we're looking at all phases of our roster. Most teams are right now. We happen to have what would appear for us a bigger need than we've had. But each time you look at a player, a position, a trade for, or for that matter, one of your players that you're trading for another player, you just got to look, don't look too far out of the boundaries of what you're getting and trading within the position, not relative to your record, or frankly, it's a mistake to do it relative to how they played the week before. It needs to be their entire evaluation of a player that you've had, certainly during in the time you started at training camp. So all of that goes into whether or not you'd be making a trade or not. And I don't know if we will or not.
I wonder how many beers you could chug while Jerry Jones is giving an answer. We should maybe try that one day. Those are long answers. So Brian Thomas Jr. had an exceptional rookie season last year. 87 receptions, 1,282 yards, and 10 touchdowns. This year through seven games, he only has 27 receptions, 365 yards, and a touchdown. Liam Cohen makes it clear that they're not trading the second-year wide receiver.
I am very optimistic. You know, we have no plans on moving Brian Thomas Jr. At all. Saw something about that over the weekend. I talked to him for a good amount of time this morning, and it's just a good reset for a lot of these guys to come in fresh, 4-3 with everything ahead of us. Regardless, good, bad, or indifferent, what's happened in the first seven games, we all have an opportunity to write a narrative. We own the narrative. And so I got a lot of confidence in them. I really do believe that we can turn the corner and get better in the pass game that way.
And let's get to Paul Feinbaum. Would Nick Saban listen to LSU if they came calling? Or maybe it'd be Donald Trump, President Trump, come calling if you listen to Louisiana governor? This is on the Rich Eisen Show.
Nick Saban was the coach at LSU. He won the national championship there in 2003. And Saban left in 05 to go to the Dolphins. Wayne Huizenga offered him this deal. And in many ways, he always regretted it. While Alabama was where he made his mark, there was this gravitational pull about Baton Rouge. His family loved it. And it probably is the only place that could get a conversation with Nick Saban. So what would it take to get Nick Saban to leave the game day set, sitting next to McAfee every Saturday, to go to LSU? It would take more than he made at Alabama, which was about $10 or $11 million. But if they came up with a package, Rich, I think you could literally fill in the number. Do I think Saban would think about it for a minute? Yes, I do. I think Nick Saban, for an unbelievable amount of money, where he said, I just can't turn that down, could possibly, at least engage in a conversation.
I don't think Nick Saban's the next coach, Ellis. I don't. Maybe if Trump calls him, potentially, but I don't think that's going to happen. He left Alabama because he didn't want to deal with NIL and transport anymore. Why would he want to jump back into this? I just don't see it. Let's go to Pete Thamel. Will Lane Kiffin leave Ole Miss? This is on College Football Live.
Right now, it's hard to imagine Lane Kiffin coaching at Ole Miss next year. The opportunity that looms at either LSU or Florida is too big. The variable here, Zubin, that's going to be fascinating and is going to loom over the last 2 months of this season is how the dynamics would work if Ole Miss indeed does make the playoff, which they are on target to do right now if they keep winning as they have. Regular season ends November 29th. They could play in the SEC champ game a week later. And the college football playoff does not start until December 19th. It would either be a high wire act where whatever job wants Lane and has some kind of agreement with Lane, maybe verbally, keeps the job open and waits for it to happen when it would be obvious it plays out that way. Or they announce it beforehand, which would be awkward too. So it's going to be a fascinating race here for Lane Kiffin and to see how he handles it with a playoff team.
Yeah, that's going to be the issue if they make the playoff, which I think they're going to. That's going to be a bleep show. But that's the structure right now in college football. The NCAA, I was reading this in the Associated Press, they're delaying a rule change that will allow athletes and athletic department staff members to bet on professional sports. The Division I board voted Tuesday to push back the effective date of the sports betting legislative change, moving it from November 1st to November 22nd. Here is Pittsburgh football coach Pat Narduzzi on allowing kids to gamble.
They don't ask the coaches. I think it's absolutely one of the stupidest decisions I've ever seen. You know, first of all, it's a habit. It's no different than smoking, drinking, doing drugs. It's a bad habit. And, you know, I don't think anybody in here would, you know, encourage you guys to go out drinking and getting smashed on a Friday night or Saturday night or at, you know, at a ball game in Acrisure Stadium. And it's a disease. I mean, you saw, you know, the same day that comes out, there's a disease in the NBA with what's going on there. And, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you make as a coach. I mean, you're still gambling like that. It's not to make money. It's because, you know, your addiction to it, I guess. I mean, that's the only thing I can, you know, and I'm not speaking for anybody, but I just think it's an addiction. And I think, you know, if you want to go to the casino down the road and hang out there and throw your money away, think you're going to continue to win. I mean, gambling's gambling. I'm not a gambler. I just don't understand it.
And let's hear one more from Pat Narduzzi. He says the NCAA is lazy.
It's a bad deal, you know, and it all comes down to they probably don't want to have to take care of all the business that goes with trying to monitor it. But, like, you know, push the wrong button on your phone, see what happens. You know, you go, oh, I thought that I did it, but I thought it was an NFL game. I pushed the wrong button and just, you know, put a bet on a college football game. I just think it's not good, and I'm not going to change my tune.
Now, Doozy at least shoots everybody straight, I'll tell you that. He is unapologetic with his opinion. Whether you agree with it or not, that's a different thing. NBA on NBC with Peacock, Michael Jordan, obviously the GOAT. He goes off on load management in the association.
It shouldn't be needed, first and foremost. You know, I never wanted to miss a game because it was an opportunity to prove. It was something that I felt like, you know, the fans are there that watch me play. I want to impress that guy way up on top who probably worked his ass off to get a ticket or to get money to buy the ticket. The guys are coming to watch me play. I don't want to miss that opportunity. Now, physically, if I can't do it, then I can't do it. But physically, if I can do it, and I just don't feel like doing it, that's a whole different lens. I always felt the necessary need that I could never leave my comrades out if I could perform, right? Even if I couldn't, you know, Utah, great example. You know, everybody said the flu game. It's game five, which is a very pivotal game. I was going to find a way to get out there, even if I was a decoy. Well, once I got out there, you know, you never know how, you know, pushing yourself, you never know what happens, right? Next thing you know, the emotions, the situation, the need of the team, you know, all those things catapulted me to, I'm going to gut this thing out.
Here's my problem with that. You can't compare the flu game to like a player sitting out in game 22 of the regular season. I don't love load management, but him going right to the flu game, it's not a good comparison right there, I'll just say. Last one, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on how the Blue Jays were able to bounce back after losing in 18 innings on game 3, and they found a way to win game 4 last night. A big thanks to his home run, this courtesy of Fox.
Yesterday was a tough lose, you know, but we flushed it right away, and to us it's one game at a time, one pitch at a time, and thank God we come with a W today. It's a 27 now, you know. 27 now, we grinded, we always positive. The first thing I say yesterday is like, I flush it, try to rest, and tomorrow we're trying to come to the first inning, trying to win the game, you know. And I learned that from a lot of you guys. And when you got that and you mind, it's not over yet. Something like today happens.
All righty, we will have game 5 tonight. We'll see who will take it as it goes back to Toronto for a game 6. That series right now tied up at 2 games apiece. We'll come on back. We'll take 5 Wednesday, give you my top 5 teams in the NFL and college football. Update time first.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Zach.
As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising.
Touchdown!
And which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top five NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take Five, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, let's start it off in college football. I'm going to start it off with the Dogs of Georgia. I look at this Georgia team who this upcoming weekend, obviously they had the game up against Florida. They were off this past week, but the week before that, they found a way to turn garbage into gold. Didn't play well in the first three quarters, and the fourth quarter came alive, and they beat up Ole Miss pretty good. Georgia's only loss this year is to Alabama. So I have the 6-1 Dogs in at number five. In at number four, this team is undefeated. They do play in the SEC. I think they're actually going to be undefeated at the end of the season. They got Missouri, they got South Carolina, Samford, and Texas remaining. They just smothered LSU, and they did send Brian Kelly packing from the Tiger family. I like the two wide receivers that they do have that transferred in. Marcel Reed's a heck of a quarterback, and Mike Elko is a really good coach. So I'm putting A&M in there. I know it got ugly a little bit for Alabama, but they found a way to win. How about the stretch for Alabama ever since losing to Florida State? Forget about Louisiana, Monroe, Wisconsin. But since then, they beat Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Tennessee, and South Carolina. Ty Simpson's a heck of a quarterback. Like that Alabama defense. Kalen DeBoer really starting to feel himself in Alabama. I will take the Crimson Tide at number three. And at number two, I'll tell you this. I didn't think I was going to move them back. And if they played Indiana in the big, and I'm assuming that's going to be the Big Ten championship game. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. But I'm going to put Ohio State in at two and Indiana in at one. Ohio State's best victory on the season is Texas. That hasn't really aged well, but I do usually consider it when you played them, and that was a heck of a win. You look at Indiana, their best win of the season was Oregon, and they beat them by 10. You also had Indiana beat Illinois 63-10. Ohio State played Illinois. They only won 34-16. So I'm going to go ahead and move up Ohio State to two, and I'm going to move up Indiana to one after Indiana beat UCLA by a score of 56-6. You look at the margins this year for Indiana, 27-14 against Old Dominion, who cares? Kennesaw State 56-9, Indiana State 73-0. Once again, who cares? Illinois 63-10. All right, Iowa only 20-15. They go to Oregon, they win by 10. They beat Michigan State 38-13. UCLA 56-6. I'm going with the Hoosiers right now, slightly above the Ohio State Buckeyes. So, in at number five, Georgia. In at number four, A&M. In at number three, Bama. In at number two, Ohio State. And in at number one, Indiana. Stewie, speak now, forever hold your peace.
All right, what about Oregon? Their only loss, of course, to Indiana on the season.
Well, that's the thing. They lost to Indiana, and that's why I moved them out of the top five. I don't think the Big Ten is as strong as it's been in previous years. Oregon will have other opportunities to make up for it. Probably not until the college football playoff. We'll see if they make the Big Ten championship game. Probably unlikely at this rate. But Iowa, Minnesota, USC, Washington, the toughest game is USC. I don't expect them to drop one the rest of the way. But they'll have a chance to make up for it in the college football playoff. And they're like the sixth or seventh best team in the country right now, I would say, in my estimation. But I just think if they play Georgia tomorrow, I would trust Georgia a little bit more than Oregon. And obviously, we will monitor the health of one Dante Moore.
All right. What about Ole Miss with wins over Oklahoma and LSU?
Yeah. So I think the world of Ole Miss, the way that they lost to Georgia, it is rather unfortunate. So I only have five spots. A&M's undefeated. Alabama is better than Ole Miss. And Georgia just beat Ole Miss. So that's why I keep them out.
What about Haynes King and Georgia Tech, A&O?
Yeah, I like Haynes King a lot, and I think that they are going to run the table and go undefeated. I just don't think an ACC team can win a national championship, so therefore I have them out.
All right, last one. What about Vanderbilt? Their lone loss, of course, to Alabama.
Yeah, I want to see them be a little bit cleaner. I didn't love them on the offensive side of the ball last week. If I'm just being totally transparent, up against Missouri, I didn't think they played the best offensive game. They should be a college football playoff team. They have Texas this weekend at Texas, and surprisingly, they're a 2.5-point dog in that one. All righty. Let me get to the NFL. Well, the NFL's been tricky. In at number five, I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers after their win up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know the Steelers aren't fantastic, but I like the dominance I saw in the second half. Eagles back in the win column against the Giants. And you look at them, they avenged that loss from earlier in the season. Not that I think that Philadelphia all of a sudden is this like great, unbeatable team when they just beat the Vikings and also the Giants, but they got so much talent there. In at number three, I'm going the Detroit Lions, like what I saw 2 weeks ago up against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In at two, the Chiefs. They didn't play well in the first half. They still dismantled the Commanders with all of us to see on Monday Night Football, and they still have Mahomes. And then at number one, it's the 7-1 Indiana Jones, Jonathan Taylor, Tyler Warren, heck of an offensive line, Shane Steichen-led Indianapolis Colts. So five Packers, four Eagles, three Lions, two Chiefs, Colts in at one.
All right. What about the Bills, who are 5-2? They broke their two-game losing streak this week.
Yeah, they smothered the Panthers, but they just lost to the Patriots and the Falcons. Patriots are solid. Falcons are up and down. This is a big one this week. You beat Kansas City again in the regular season. I mean, you're going to go beat them in the playoffs because you beat them in the regular season, but then maybe you get in the top five once again next week.
What about your Pats? Five wins in a row.
I like to see them start off a little bit better. The Buffalo game was huge. I'm curious when the competition picks up a little bit how they're going to look. They're on the right path. They're going to be a playoff team, I think. I just don't think that they're amongst the top five team in the NFL right now.
What about Baker and the Bucks?
That was the tough one. That was the real tough one. The Detroit loss, the Eagles loss, not the end of the world. So that probably keeps them out of the top five. And it's the injuries, too. The injuries are really starting to pile up for Tampa Bay.
All right, last one. What about the Rams, who are 5-2 on the year?
Yeah, so the Rams lose that game to the Eagles. They choke it away. All right, you're entitled to one. Then you lose to a banged-up Niners team. You beat the Ravens and Jaguars after that. I got to see more from the Rams, who I really like, before I'm going to put them back in my top five. All righty. Fun show today. Big thanks, Connor. Big thanks to Stu. Big thanks to each and every one of you. And also a big thank you to Jerry Harrison Jr., Pat Boyle, and Sean Merriman. We'll be back tomorrow on a Thursday right at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Enjoy the World Series tonight. We'll chat about it tomorrow. Get you set for a Thursday night football game as well. Manana. All righty, we out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
He's, I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.